have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Press in to his presence. Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, and the Lord bless you some more. Thank God for the opportunity to come and join in with you as you join in with us for Making Marriage. We are looking forward to what the Lord shall say, what the Lord will do. We are in expectation, in anticipation, definitely looking for the revelations of what God shall say to us. All right? I'm your host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., and I'm looking forward to sharing with you. But I must make this disclaimer. I am not a relationship expert. I'm just an individual who have had some experiences over the course of the past 27 plus years in relationships, in marriages. I did say marriages. I've been there, done that. Amen. Currently single, but I've learned enough things to help somebody along the way. Someone who is currently married, you might be struggling in your marriage. Someone who's considering, never been married before. Someone who's been married before, then got divorced and considering remarriage. I want to talk to you, not because I have the answers, but because some of the things that I believe God has shared with me will be helpful to you. Now, I must make this other disclaimer. This conversation right here, I'm telling you, it's going to be real, but it's going to be raw. You'll find it will be relevant. All right? So prepare yourself. Call somebody. Tell somebody that Making Marriage Meaningful is on. All right? If you're watching by Facebook, I want you to share with somebody who married, somebody who tag somebody who's considering marriage. I want to help somebody that night in Jesus' name. And we're talking about something real good, too. All right? So let's find out who is here from our crew tonight. Let me see if I can get a hold of this great man of God who's normally here. He wasn't here last week, but I'm going to see if he's here tonight. I'm talking about the one, the only, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you here, sir? Okay, he's not here. Let's go on a little further. See if this other man of God is here. I'm talking about... What in the world? Okay, let's try this again. Let's see if Bishop Designate Ernest E. Richard Jr. is here. Are you here, sir? That's 0-2. All right. I know that this young lady is here. I'm talking about Sister G. Johnson. Come on and say hello to us, Sister G. Johnson.
Praise God. Praise God. I am here tonight and ready for the broadcast. Hallelujah.
And let me see. I know I've heard him. Amen. Brother Otis and Sister Gabriel. Well, let's
yes,
say hello
yes,
tonight.
We are here.
Amen.
Two of us are here tonight.
Amen. So glad to have you. Thank God for you. Amen. We're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do tonight and share with us. So we're going to pray and then get into the scripture and go back into this conversation in Jesus' name. All right. Father, we thank you and we thank you, God, for being so good to us. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity, oh God, once again to come together that we may talk about marriage and relationship. We pray that, Father, something will be said that will help someone to make their marriage meaningful. In the name of Jesus, we come against every diabolical force that is fighting against them now who are married, those who are considering marriage, oh God, and those who are on the other side considering divorce. Let something be said that will help them along the way. In the name of Jesus, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me read this scripture to you out of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, reading out of the Message Bible. It says, the serpent was clever. More clever than any wild animal God made. He spoke to the woman. Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it. Don't even touch it or you'll die. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. When the woman saw that the tree was, that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on. Saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. God called to the man, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid." God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it." God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" "The serpent seduced me," she said, "and I ate." We are currently talking about conquering failure in marriage. Conquering failure in marriage. It is certain that as long as you are married, you are going to have some challenges. It is certain that as long as you are married, you're going to go through some challenges and some changes. You're going to go through some things that is going to make sense, some things that won't make sense. Okay? You're going to go through some things that may not be able to be avoided, and you're going to go through things that can be avoided. But the objective is you have to conquer what it is that has made you fail in marriage or is causing your marriage to fail. One of the things that we wanted to make sure you understood on last week is the difference between an operating marriage, which requires the occupation of marriage and the obligation to marriage. When we talked about the occupation of marriage, it is a person who is a person's usual or principal work or business, especially as means of earning a living. It's a vocation, okay? So when we talk about the occupation of marriage, it is that which you do to sustain the marriage. Marriage is not sustained just because you two talk to each other and hug each other and do the lovey-dovey. That is not what it takes to make sure the marriage is operative. It is having a place to store the marriage. Therefore, the marriage needs a house. The marriage needs furnishings. The marriage needs transportation. The marriage needs nutrition. These things come by way of occupation. Bible says, man don't work, you don't eat. Same thing for your marriage. If your marriage, if you don't work for your marriage doesn't eat. It doesn't survive. It doesn't sustain. Okay? The other part is the obligation in marriage. Obligation is something by which a person is bound or obliged to do certain things, and which arises out of a sense of duty or results from custom, law, and so on. In other words, the obligation in marriage is what you are supposed to do while you're married. There are some things that you have to do whether you like it or not. You have to love on your spouse. You have to give your body to your spouse. You have to be intimate with your spouse, point blank, period. And don't give me this, what about if this one is impotent? What about if this one cannot handle penetration? Find a way. It is that simple. Find a way. That's your responsibility. That's why you're married, so that you can meet each other's needs. Okay? So there are certain things that need to be done. You know, while someone is out working, somebody needs to be inside working. so that the marriage can be operative. That is something important. And when these things are not met, these begin the processes of failure in marriage. And when your marriage begins to fail, it's because you failed at something in your marriage. Let me say it again. If your marriage begins to fail, it's because you fail at something in your marriage. So we began talking last week on outside influences, which, of course, is never a good thing. But as we begin to talk about outside influences, we begin talking about developing new relationships, which we discovered is erroneous. Okay, we talked about having mutual friends if we're going to develop new friendships. But also we made it clear that if you're married, you should seek friendships with other married couples rather than single couples, and you should make sure to include your spouse in introductions and not seeking private friendships that could cause problems. That's what we talked about last week. This week, I want to deal with this. If we're going to conquer outside influences, then we cannot rekindle old relationships. Rekindling old relationships, which becomes an issue because it appears that all the time you were single, you know, or all the time you were dating, the individual did not want to commit. They did not want to get married. They did not want the same thing that you wanted. That's why you moved on. And so you got someone who wanted to marry you. Now that you got married, don't get into a point where you meet the old person again, and now they found out you're married. Now all of a sudden, they want to show you interest and attention. I want to tell you, do not open up that door. All right? Let me start with you, Sister G. What do you think about being married and rekindling old flames, old relationships?
Can you hear me?
Sister G?
Yes, can you hear me? Oh, okay, great. Okay, if you're married and you're rekindling old relationships, I think that's a no-no because, as you said, you know, you have the opportunity. And then all of a sudden now, because you have moved on and got married, now they want to show interest. And that happens a lot in situations where people like to, they just like to start trouble, you know, and to see if they could strike up something with you again and take you from the other person or so forth. So that's a no-no. Rekindling, it's okay to say hello, hi, but you really shouldn't have to, in my opinion, you shouldn't really have anything else to do with that person, you know, because now you got to end. So now what happens is you're entertaining them as well as your marriage. So the main thing you should be working on is your marriage that you have at hand. Again, you can say hello, hi, you see them out in the street, but it shouldn't be a thing where now I'm trying to give you attention and give you revisit the past. That's a no-no. That's my take on it.
Amen. Amen. Now, come on, talk to me, Brother Gabriel. What do you think about rekindling old relationships when you're now married? Brother Otis? I think you might be having a little bit of trouble trying to share. But I'm so in agreement that certain things are a no-no. But for some reason, some people, they find themselves in a predicament where they say they just couldn't help themselves. Or better yet, they make excuses that they needed help from the ex. Okay, there you go. Talk to me. Come on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can
hear
you.
Oh, okay, very good.
I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, no, what I was saying is that once an individual is married or in a committed relationship with another individual, then that should be a closed relationship. That even though people say, oh, we're still just friends, but when you begin to associate with someone that you have been sweethearts with, then when you get back with that individual, your conversation and your behavior will shift back real fast, almost immediately, to the relationship that you had years before. And that is evident when people go to class reunions. When they go to class reunions, even though they had not seen one another in 5, 10, 20 years, the first thing they talk about is what we used to do. And the same thing would take place when you begin to contact an ex. If the only thing you have in common is what you used to do. It's not a business partner. This was a sweetheart, a person that you were intimate with, that you shared secrets with, that you shared meals with, that you spent the night with, and shared intimacies with. And that is a dangerous situation. It is disrespectful to your current partner. And it's just, to me, it's a form of low-life living, because people like to have a situation where they feel like that they are getting away with something. But there are other people who will become aware that you have reconnected with an ex. And now those persons know, you know, the ex is going to tell somebody that I'm back with this person now. And that is very, very disrespectful toward for your current partner. So I think that this reconnecting with an ex is something that we should be willing to do once we commit to another individual.
I want to look at
that you're not, willing to do.
I want to look at that rekindling, because that rekindling has to do with, if you will, reigniting a flame, reigniting a fire, and that's very dangerous to create a fire with someone else. Because here's the reality. If you create a fire with someone else, you're going to find that that fire going to burn, and it's going to burn hard. And chances are it might burn long, and you may not be in a place where you can put that fire out. I've seen some people who they don't know how much they be flirting with such fire, you know, and then they find themselves in a tight spot wondering what do they do. I've often wondered what it is about you, what it is about your ex that made them your ex, that makes you want to go back to your ex. Because let me tell you something. If you have made a conscious decision to commit to somebody else and then give them a vow that says, I'm going to honor you and cherish you in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, forsaking all others so long as we both shall live, then nothing should allow a rekindling or a reigniting of a flame. It should be in your mindset that, hey, I'm done with what I've dealt with. I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. I'm not trying that again, because I'm moving on. But for some reason, people want to try something old again, and I just want to say you can't do it. So rekindling an old flame is extremely, extremely dangerous. Matter of fact, rekindling an old flame is much more dangerous than developing a new relationship. Oh, let me say it again. Glory to God. Rekindling an old flame is much more dangerous than developing a new one. Why? Because an old flame has more access to you than a new relationship. Because an old flame knows things about you that a new person don't know, and an old flame knows something about you that even your current mate don't know. That's why it's so dangerous. Watch this. Unresolved lust could be one reason why someone would entertain an ex. Well, that's a good point, Elder Jordan. Yeah, that could be that old unresolved lust. But here's the thing. When you take on a new spouse, it could be a new spouse, or when you take, because you're getting married, so you're getting adjusted to somebody that's new. So when you take on a new spouse, what you have to make sure to do is close every other door. Here's the problem with this, what we see in this text. This woman opened up a door. This woman opened up a door when she allowed conversation to take place. The worst thing you can do is open up a door to somebody into your life and into your marriage. I don't care who it is, because the minute you open the door, you put yourself in harm's way, and you will often find trouble in that relationship. Does that make sense to you, Sister G, about opening up that door? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to close the back door. That's it. Ain't no coming back, because it's gonna be is just trouble. So you have to decide, do you want to move forward in the relationship you in and drop that, or do you want to go backwards? A lot of people like to go backwards, and then they find that they made a bad mistake. So if you're going to move forward, you move forward, you close all the doors, and keep it moving. Amen?
When you move, watch what you said. When you move forward, and you close all the doors. Is that how you said it?
That's right. Move forward and close the back door.
Okay. So wait a minute.
Hello? Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I'm hearing you.
I just wanted to add to what she said, and that is when you go back to your ex and you're committed in marriage, you're forming an altogether different kind of relationship, and that ex doesn't have any commitment to you because they can always say, well, you're married now, and we can't do this, that, and the other after they have kind of pulled you away from being truthful to your spouse. And I think that the first year that you're married, you should be more dependent on each other, not even look into, getting into friends or meeting new friends and couples, because you need to form a real strong foundation between the two of you so you know what your limitations are and just how you would act in situations.
You said something. You said something that is very important, and many times we ignore it. We must, in a new marriage, we must get a strong foundation. But watch this.
Yes.
While we're getting a strong foundation, we need an even stronger security. Oh, have you? I don't know if you've ever paid attention, but in a lot of cases, when a new facility is being built, they put a certain type of fence around that facility. Why? To keep out intruders. Oh, because we're talking about outside influences that is causing failure in marriages. Again, watch this. Here is the serpent. This serpent with clever, and it is symbolic. You deal with clever people sagacious and clever people, they are cunning. Clever people, they are crafty. Clever people are tricky. And what they will do is they will try to lure you into what they've got going on to pull you away from what you're trying to build. And the only reason they do that is because they're, one, hoping that you don't have a good foundation, and two, that you don't have a good security structure for your marriage. Oh, let me say this, and I want people to hear me. Not only must you build a good, solid foundation, but you need a good security system around you and your mate. And I appreciate what you said, Sister Gabriel, that it should be important to make sure to spend time with your mate and not even consider new friendships, more or less allowing an old one to come in. Why? Because the objective is to build a good foundation, but you got to have a strong security system around that foundation. In other words, I'm not allowing any intruders. I'm not allowing any invaders, and you cannot get in without an invitation. I don't have no extra spare keys for nobody else to get in. These are things that people take for granted, and then they wonder what went wrong in their marriage. How is it that Jimmy can still have access to you? How is it that Bonquisha can still have access to you? And let me say this, even if you get married to somebody and you've had a child with someone else, you got to be so careful that you put up a security system, because you don't need any outside influences or outside interference that will cause problems. So here this woman is, she opens this gate. She opens the security system when she begins not, watch, the problem wasn't that she was talking to the serpent. The problem was that she started listening to the serpent. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. You can talk to your blue in the, but you ain't business listening to anyone else's views, anyone else's opinion. So now if we be truthful, he has come in and he has already implemented division. He's implemented a divided foundation, a divided faith. Oh, he has implemented divided faithfulness. Watch this, because all the talking he's doing, watch this, the husband is sitting back. Oh my goodness, he ain't saying, he's right there, he's not saying nothing. So that now concerns me. That now concerns me. How much do you want your marriage to work if you're not willing to shut down something that's going on? Oh, what did you say, Apostle Willow? How much do you want your marriage to work when you're not willing to shut down what's going on? What do I mean shut down? Excuse me, honey, but you don't need to have conversations over there. Excuse me, baby, but you need to cut that off right there. It's not a matter of controlling you. It's a matter of saving your marriage. Ooh, do I make that's any right. sense to anybody tonight?
Yes. Amen.
Talk to me.
Goes along with spending time and getting to know your spouse. And you'll know what the boundaries are. You know that certain things you should not do once we're married. And you just learn to trust each other, and, you know, those things won't come up.
Right. Yeah, you have to establish that boundary in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to, oh, I have an ex that's in town, and, you know, they wanted to see me, and they wanted to this and that and all that kind of stuff. You know, okay, well, if that's going to happen, my husband is coming with me, or my mate is coming with me. You know, if we're going to, I'm just saying, you know, it shouldn't be a by myself type of thing that I'm going to visit you.
Yeah, even with that, you would have to really determine whether it's necessary, you know?
Right, absolutely.
Because you may be sitting across the table from your ex and he starts talking about things that your husband doesn't know about you, and that's going to become a serious problem once you get home together.
Right. Absolutely.
I would like to share some information in reference to that. Family counselors and social workers, I have conducted survey after survey about the necessity of exes or what they call shared parenting for those two individuals to meet together in person. And over 95% of the time, there has not been a necessity for the people to meet in person. If you're going to have a conversation about the children, that can be done on the phone in the presence of your current relationship partner, your husband, or the person that you are cohabitating with, or the person you are engaged to. We're going to talk about the children. We're going to meet. You don't have to meet for that. That's a telephone. If you can talk, if you're going to meet, then in person to be physically there, then you must plan on having some type of physical activity. So one thing that was said that I'd like to expound upon, and that is once you get married or once you're in a committed relationship, you must first sit down the same way you do when you're in the workplace. They have a policy manual, and you should sit down and talk about these things. Otherwise, the only time you mention them is when something goes awry or something takes place that you're not in favor of, and then you want to discuss it. You need to discuss how much contact are you going to have. When you drop the children off on the weekend, we can do that together. Just drop the kids off. Mm-hmm. There's no need to go into your ex's home to talk to them for 3 hours about how to take care of the kids for the weekend. And so those are the type of things that should be discussed and should be adhered to. Once you have severed a relationship with a person, that should be severed. It doesn't mean you have to be angry with the person or burning bridges or speaking to them in such a manner if they don't want to talk to you anymore. But when it's over in the relationship, don't get back into the little intimacies and conversations, meals, and touching that you did prior to the breakup. So that's the main thing, is to establish rules of engagement, rules of contact with your spouse about how you are going to conduct yourself with an ex when it is necessary for the sake of the children.
Amen. And so, Brother Gabriel, that's what I'm talking about, according to what I was hearing from your wife, that when we get this foundation, we also have to get this security system in check. So that security system would be that boundary. What is permitted? What is not permitted? What we should agree with? What we will not tolerate? Things of that magnitude. Because if we don't establish that, then it is almost as if it is an open marriage. Now, I am concerned about people who have an open marriage, because what you're saying is, I don't mind who comes in and who comes out of our bedroom. And I just thought that if we're going to be married, that our bedroom should be sacred, point blank, period. And if it's not sacred, then we shouldn't have it. So again, here's my thing. Here's the problem with this issue, is that this woman started listening. She was listening to this clever creature. Oh, good God Almighty. And please hear me when I say it. that some people are so clever, they're watching everything about your marriage from the day you say, I do. They are watching because some people are praying that it fails. Some people can't wait till it fails. Some people have put a time limit on it failing. Why? And then what they do is they use these little nuggets of doubt, these little nuggets of distortion. So here, watch this. He tells her, is this what God said? Is this what God really said? Well, first of all, a lot of people get married, they don't even put God in their marriage. They stand before a preacher, they stand before justice of the peace, right? And they say, until death do your part, so long as you shall live by the grace of God. But what they do is they push God somewhere to the side and they expect to make it with themselves. I want to tell somebody, no marriage will work without God. Why? Because God is the orchestrator, initiator, and institutor of marriage. And so if you have a hard time, if you have issues, you are supposed to go to God before you go to a person. And people don't do that because they have excommunicated God from the moment they left the altar. Okay, but watch this. So he's communicating with her. And the problem is that she has opened up to her. This is something that I've said for years, and I say it even today. God created women to be stimulated by what they hear. But God created men to be stimulated by what he sees. So we have a problem now because she's hearing something, yet he's seeing something. What the husband is seeing something. Oh, my goodness. And so I've learned that if she can hear the right thing, she will do the wrong thing. If he can see the right thing, he will try it, even though it might be wrong. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I don't know who's listening tonight, but this is so crucial. All of these things constitute outside interference. But I want to go even further than developing a new relationship or rekindling an old relationship. Watch this. Here is a real issue. Some people do not have that full year to establish that foundation and their boundaries or their security. So some people work a type of job that requires them to travel. I'm concerned about that. Why? Because now here's the issue again. You haven't been with your mate in some time. Somebody comes talking to you. Now you're listening. And before you know it, you have an affair or a one-night stand. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, he'll never know. She'll never know. But did you not know the thing that you don't know can hurt you more than what you know? Oh, so here's outside influences. It provokes and creates opportunities for affairs or one-night stand. And there are people who say, oh, I will never do that. I will never do that. I will never do that. And before you know it, you wake up in the morning, what have I done? Who is this in my bed? What did I do? You done drunk something, and you don't know. You go to the bar. Listen, I'm so serious about this. You go to the bar, and you have a drink. Somebody done slipped something in your drink. You don't know what happened. Then you wake up in the morning, and you're like, whoa, why do I feel so funny, and why am I hurting here and there? Oh, this is happened with men, and it happened with women. I found out, watch this. I found out that women, and this is no not to be humble, but women will date rape men quicker than a man will date rape a woman. But here's the problem. Women are only going after the men who got some decent money. Oh, after I heard some years ago how this baseball player went to a bar one night and formed a couple, and all of a sudden, you know, gave him some drugs, right? And then got him back to his hotel. He passed out, and she sucked something. herself, got pregnant, and then blamed it on him just so she could get some child support. There are some clever people who are devious, and this is why we have to be so guarded. I'm trying to tell you, if you've got a job that you have to travel, then you need to find every possible way to take your mate with you. I don't care what nobody says. Don't leave your mate and go to another city, another state. I don't care if it ain't but for two nights. Please don't do it, because, listen, the devil is out to see who he can devour. Is there anybody who agree with me there?
Amen.
Talk to me.
I agree.
Come on, talk. Come on, what you gonna tell me? Come on.
I agree. What you were saying about someone that's traveling, it's not always easy to be able to travel. If a mate has a job where they're 80% traveling, and let's say you guys have kids together, and you're the one who's the homemaker who stays there with the kids, make sure they get off to school and so forth and so on. So there's different scenarios, and there may be cases where the other can travel if that is possible. But what do you do when you meet that mate and they're telling you, hey, I'm 80% travel, can you deal with that? So it's just a tough scenario.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, watch this. The other thing is, you have people, when they travel, they don't know how to check in.
All right.
If you're going to travel, you should find a way to check in. Listen, if your phone is ringing, if you see it's your spouse, that should be, if you don't answer no other call, that should be the call you answer. I don't know who I'm talking to. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. If your phone ringing and you see it's your husband, you see it's your wife, I don't care who you around, who you surrounded by, answer the phone. Don't give your spouse a reason to wonder if you're faithful or not. Don't give them a reason to wonder if there's something else going on, if somebody in your ear, or even if you are in danger of having an affair or a one-night stand. Some people, I'm not answering my phone. Oh, it's my husband. It's my wife. It can wait. It ain't important. They know I'm working. They might know you're working, but there's two sides. One, they may need to hear your voice, and two, there might be something going on at home that might require you to have to turn around and come home early. Come on. Don't put yourself in the risk of an affair. I don't know who I'm talking to.
I think in that case, you said earlier that women love to hear things. And I think if you have a traveling spouse, you need to make sure you have FaceTime so you can see each other.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Even if you don't have FaceTime, you can now do video calling through Facebook's Messenger.
Right, simple. Some kind of way to be able to see each other. Not because you don't trust each other, just that connection of being able to see each other, you know, makes you feel closer than a phone call.
Yes,
right.
Yes, that is true. See, so all of these things relate to outside influences. Watch this. Look at this now, because outside influences has the ability to convince you that something is wrong with your marriage on the inside. Oh, let me say it again. Outside influences has the ability to convince you that something is wrong with the inside of your marriage. Let me say it like this. Anyone who comes and talks to you about anyone who comes and tells you something negative about your marriage, you need to be mindful. You need to be mindful. Because why? They have a motive. They have an agenda. It's that simple. And you got to be mindful of stuff like that. Don't listen. Don't let the devil fool you. Under no circumstance, please, Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let the devil make you think that what God is dealing with you or what God has planted within you is not functioning. Oh, please hear me, because here's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't want you to live, so he certainly don't want you to have happiness. He certainly don't want you to have a good marriage. He certainly don't want you to enjoy the benefits of being married. Why? Because he's not married. Anybody who ain't married really ain't happy for you being married. Did I just say that?
Why?
Anybody who ain't married ain't truly happy for you being married. You know why? Because they're sitting there thinking to themselves, this should be me. And God forbid you marry the person that they're putting on and thinking about. That should have been me. I watched something called Acrimony. In the movie Acrimony, this woman married a man who was struggling. He was struggling. And everybody was complaining that it's not good. They shouldn't be together. When this woman thought her husband had an affair, she divorced him, left him with nothing but his records and maybe his project that he was working on. There was another woman who came along who said, man, I ain't going to let you sit here like this, and turned around and brought him up. Man, got this dude a check that brought his life together and put everything in perspective. I'm talking about something in the nature of $75 million. Here's what the man did. He turns around and gives his ex-wife $10 million, buys her back the house that he lost. Watch this. Watch this. Now, all of a sudden, she's mad at him because he done moved on with somebody who was believing in him and was supporting him and trusting him and helping him to reach his goals. Boy, I'm telling you, if you don't have somebody who's going to help you reach your goals in life, if you don't have somebody who's going to help you get somewhere in life, establish something in life, you in trouble. I'm trying to tell you, if you got somebody you married to who's just there from you, you are in danger. I don't care what nobody say. If they ain't there trying to push you forward, trying to birth your ideas, get you into your purpose, bring you into destiny, you're in trouble. And you're going to sit there and try to figure out, where did I go wrong? Where did I mess up? Why is this so hard? Why am I like this? Because you're dealing with somebody who's not there with you. And so I'm saying that to help somebody. These are some of the reasons that people will have affairs. These are some of the reasons that people have a one-night stand. These are some of the reasons why people say, you know, I'm giving up on my marriage. But you can conquer failure in marriage if you get rid of outside influences.
Right.
Watch this. So she was listening to this clever preacher, right? And the clever creature had gotten into her system's soul, told her, hey, you ain't going to die. Don't you believe that? Let me tell you something. Any creature that tells you not to believe what God's word says is after your life. Good God Almighty. That creature said, you ain't going to die. Said, no, you ain't going to die. Said, because God knows the moment you eat from this tree, you're going to see what's really going on. Watch out for someone who wants to change the standards that has been set for you. Watch out for that individual that wants to change the morals that have been established. Watch out for those who wants to change the truth that you grew up with. If anybody comes to change what God has placed in your spirit through your parents, through your guardians, and it was godly stuff, boy, you better watch out. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Am I making any kind of sense here?
Yes, I would like
to. Everybody, come on, talk to me here. What do you think about yourself?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, this is Brother Otis Gabriel. I would like to comment on some of the things that you just stated. There was one, and from the very beginning, we should be aware of the fact that the first couple succumbed to outside interference and had devastating results. That is when the serpent was talking to the wife. The wife listened to the serpent and did what the serpent suggested, and things have never been the same since. Like the part you said that we should emphasize is that when a building is under construction, when it's under construction, it is new, it is just getting established, and it would be easy for someone to come in and cause destruction to a building under construction. So what they do is they put a fence around it, and until they get it strong, and just the people who are involved in construction are allowed inside. And that's what we should do with relationships. It's the two individuals get together, stay together, not invite anyone in. And what you want to do is to make that relationship strong, make it solid. If someone is going back and visiting former sweethearts, then that does nothing to strengthen a relationship. It weakens it, and it takes away your time, your devotion, your mind, and your dedication from what you're trying to establish, because now it is being invited. And people like to think that, oh, I can't handle my marriage and an outside affair. No, you cannot do that effectively. And once you make up your mind that this is going to be the person that I'm going to spend my time with, then that's who you should spend your time with. And the last thing you mentioned about the person who has a job traveling, when a person has a job traveling, that means that they're not going to be home at times when they should and would like to be home. What is worse than that is a person who does not have a job traveling, but still not at home with the partner when they could be home. Is they're out doing things with other people. So the suggestion is, if you are in a committed relationship, you're off from work, when that person is home, you should be at home with them as much as possible, and not, oh, I'm going to make a little run down to the drugstore, or I'm going to go by the bar and pick up this. No, if the person you are committed with is at home, then you, the second part of that relationship, should be at home with that individual. It's just as bad as someone who is traveling if you're not home when you could be home and should be home.
Amen. Amen and amen. Watch this. So the serpent says, you won't really die, because God knows the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. There are so many people trying to promote self-help success by causing them to think that they are just like God in the sense that they can do everything that God does. That's not accurate. I do believe that you are made in God's image and after his likeness, but I believe that there are certain things that God does that you cannot do. First of all, God is all-knowing. Your knowledge is limited. God is all-powerful. You are often weak. God is always present. You have a hard time showing up. God is omnicompetent. He's all wise in his dealings, and you still seeking wisdom. So what the serpent is trying to allude to is the exact likeness of God being able to range in all of this information. And there is an element of good and evil that you're aware of, but not like God. All right? So here's what the Bible says. The Bible saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, being that she supposedly would know everything. She took and ate of the fruit, gave to her husband, and he ate too. Here's what I want to go into, and we're going to tackle this next week. I want to talk about internal disconnect. Excuse me, that sneeze wanting to come out. I want to talk about internal disconnect. Thank you. Here's what I mean by internal disconnect. When you think that you are not good enough the way you are, that's what I want to get into on next week. When you think you're not good enough the way you are, because all of the talking that came from the outer influence made her think to herself, she's not good enough the way she is. And if you're in a marriage and you're being made to feel that you're not good enough the way you are in trouble. Ooh, I dare not be with somebody who makes me feel like I'm not good enough. I don't know about you, Sister G. I wouldn't get with nobody who don't make me feel like I'm good enough. Oh, no, not me. But there are people who do it. If you feel like you're not good enough, are you serious? No. You ain't going to say I do to me and then tell me I ain't good enough. We're going to deal with that next week, all right? Matter of fact, I think we'll take a chance next week and try to be on because I'm supposed to be with, we're scheduled some people or some of us going to be in Indianapolis for convocation, and I'm excited about it. We'll start this coming Wednesday in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Jerusalem Temple Apostolic Church, 2125, I believe it's 54th Street or 56th Street. We're 54th. So excited about it.
God is going to move while we're there.
So we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. Listen, I didn't have all of my panelists tonight, but I thank God
for those
who are here. You come in at this end point?
No, I've been here for the last half hour just having phone trouble. Now I can hear you.
Oh, well, you didn't text me to let me know that you were here either. So
check your text.
But thank God.
Check your text.
Thank you very much, and we want to wish you a happy birthday early because we know that you are less than, you're less than 38 hours away, I believe, or something, 39 hours away from your birthday. And so we're excited for you that God has blessed you to live this long and see this time. I'm still celebrating. So when I see you, we're going to get some cake together. All right, bro?
The blessing of the Lord be upon you.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right, so next week we're going to continue with the help of the Lord, but we're going to deal with like I said, internal defects or internal disconnect. When you are made to think that you are not, we're going to talk about those things next week with the help of the Lord. So we say thank you, amen, Mr. Designate for coming in. Thank you, Brother and Sister Gabriel, and thank you, Sister G. Johnson. We appreciate you. Thank you, those of you who shared the comments via Facebook. Thank you for listening in, tuning in. I hope you shared this with somebody, that you tagged somebody in this, that somebody will hear and know the things that God is sharing through us. All right? Let me say this to you as we're closing. Do not walk good. Do not talk good and walk bad. Let me say it again. Do not talk good and walk bad. Don't talk about it, but you can't be about it. All right? Why? Because we want you to make your marriage meaningful. And your marriage cannot be meaningful as long as your mate is meaningless. If he taps you on the shoulder, roll over. If you feel something happening, you ain't married, all I want to say is cold shower. Thank God for you. We love you. We speak blessings upon you. In Jesus' name, we want you to join us next week, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 Central, as we deal with some more from making marriage meaningful. Until then, we say go with God, and he will, and he will go with you. Dr. Kimmy, wherever you at, drop that track. We out. Shalom. Peace.
Let us not be ashamed to ask the good Lord to walk with us. In every situation, whatever you may be going through, don't be ashamed to ask the good Lord to walk with you. Mm-hmm. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me.
Yeah.